Christopher Media, the Toddzilla X-Pod.
I don't like shooing people away, but it's good practice sometimes. Some people like me, some people can't fucking stand me. I'm polarizing, I get that. But I think it's fair that I should come with a warning label. And I should get that out there before you stumble into something thinking it's going to be something it's not.
The Toddzilla X-Pod on iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Well, you know, just waiting for everybody to take a nice big hit and get their coughing out of the way.
Okay, let's get this biatch on the road.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise. From AsthmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, man.
It's the Weedsman Podcast.
I have no idea what's going on.
And now,
you have smoked yourself retarded.
Here are the Weedsmen.
You want to get high?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go over this.
So.
Really?
Nice.
We just talked about that.
You said you were going to wait.
First
and then
thing
you started
hear.
It as soon as I started my head.
Aaron coughing.
No, wait, no coughing.
So that's Aaron coughing. I'm Chris.
That's me coughing, Rob.
Hey, I wasn't sure if I was going to say that I also coughed at some point. I'm that's Scott.
It wasn't just me, but that's our guest.
It's more fun to blame Aaron.
Yes.
Scott Boyink, correct?
That's the last name? Yeah, pretty much.
Did I say it incorrectly?
Nobody ever told me how to say it right, but so I guess we say Boyink.
Boyink.
Boyink or whatever you like.
All right, cool.
I don't have a lot of opinions on it. It's not worth really having an opinion on it. 39 years old.
Yeah, I've always pronounced it boyink, like it's two syllables, but it's so tempting to just shove it into one syllable and just boink.
Well, when you spell it, it's like boy ink. So I guess you could break it up that way phonetically if you like, but I don't really care.
Here, move it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
he's... Yeah, a little bit.
I'm trying to figure out how to, like sit or stand where I'm going to get my like Larry King pose on.
Gotcha.
Wherever you need to put take it with you.
It's a very fancy arm that'll put this thing pretty much where I need it to be at.
Aaron, you want to introduce Scott?
He's the drummer. He's the drummer for the Amino Acids.
Kind of true.
Kind of true. Is there any way we'd like to correct me on that?
Well, there's this whole extraterrestrial conscience thing, so my body is used by parasites. So
okay. I think we'll touch on that one later.
All right.
But also runs Hype Ignition. And, Scott, I guess maybe you should explain what Hype Ignition is.
Well, we do screen printing for bands and artists and artists. This is going great. I'm really getting my fresh air on here. We do simple like DIY style screen printing for bands and artists and companies and charities and stuff like that. I'm currently working out of my home, but I'm trying to expand out of there. So I've been doing that for about 2.5 years. So.
And yeah, you've done shirts for two of the bands that I've played in.
Right. Yeah.
People, the last one that Chris and I were in, and you also did shirts for Telecollision.
Yeah, Telecollision was the first band I ever did shirts for that wasn't like my band. And it was just sort of like a gift. Like I had to make something for someone else like immediately. So you guys won. Holy cow.
Oh my God.
I actually recently went anal on my wardrobe and organized everything. And I have one whole stack of Hype Ignition shirts in the drawer. Like whether it's the ones that you printed or that... just ones that have your logo on
cool.
it, but you
Thank
have a
you.
Whole section in my drawer now.
Aaron, outstanding.
You're like a Trivial Pursuit you question.
Right. Yeah. Well, I tend to make a lot of different stuff just as a habit of making things. So, and I've never really had a like artistic background, so it's surprising to me that I can make things sort of at all. So, and I keep my designs to a like first day of school, ninth grade Photoshop sort of level, so I can get out of my head real quick, and so I tend to make a lot of things. I think we usually make like 4 or 5 different t-shirts a week or something.
How did all this start? I mean, you obviously said Telecollision was first band you did that wasn't yours, but how did you discover that you could do this, wanted to do this, or just how did it all come about?
Well, we sort of started with the idea in must have been 2004 when I was living in Detroit with a friend of ours named Steve, and really we were just sitting around getting stoned one night talking about how we could probably make our own shirts, and with a website and a credit card number, all of a sudden we had screens on the way to the house. So Steve had a background in photography, so he had like the problem of like the light table. sort of like the weirdest thing to have to think of or build. He sort of had the guts for that lying around, so we sort of MacGyvered some gear together real quick, and we made a couple of posters and a couple of T-shirts, and then that was about where it ended. But I kept the light table, and when we fixed my basement after it flooded a couple years ago, we sort of looked at it and said, well, we can do almost anything we want down here. What do we want to do besides have a dry, you know, drum kit? And I had the guts for the light table in a friend's storage unit. So we pulled that out and said, well, maybe we can screen print. And it just sort of started gathering what we needed, and it went from there. And I've been doing it almost every day ever since, I suppose.
Yeah, and I've been down there printing in your basement with you. It's actually very much a hands-on. How often do you have people come out and help you with it still?
You know, they don't come out quite as much as they did, like, sort of in the beginning.
Yeah.
But I've gotten, like, a handful of friends who started out as customers, and they come over sort of regularly.
But you're very open with the whole process. Like, if you want to learn how to do this, you'll take them through the steps and show them exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like to say, if it was really hard to do, maybe I probably couldn't do it. So if it's easy enough for me to do, I can teach you how to do it. It's not very hard, you know, in a technical sense. There's just a couple of things you got to do.
Nice.
I mean, if you want to get crazy and artsy with it, I suppose it could get harder. But that's not really my style. I think like, let other people make, you know, crazy fancy art. I want to make, you know, I'm happy making just like ordinary stuff. You know,
right.
A lot of it, you know.
But I don't know. I don't think it's ordinary. I'd rather like it. You're constantly have your designs out all the time. Quite a lot of things are my favorite. My current one is the Whatever Artist.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
What's that?
I've
been meaning to make that shirt for years now. I think I'm just getting around to some of the dumber slogan shirts that I've been going around for a long time.
Where can people look at your shirts if they want to check them out?
If you go to hypeignition.com, it'll redirect you to our Big Cartel page. But we have a page up on Big Cartel, and I think right now I've got like 35, 36 designs on there. Well, I'm hoping to hit 100 kind of soonish. You know, there's a bunch of stuff on the shelf as soon as I just start a big burn fest at the house, then I'll have like 12 more shirts up. And we're going to start doing local band shirts, like some people that we've printed for already, but take the designs that we did for them, and we're going to sell them on the website and give them a commission off that for like sort of like a distro. So
right.
Amino Acids are in on that, and the Counter Elites and the Disinformants, Cavemen Woodmen, Detroit 442, and Passalacqua, I think, so far. So
awesome.
It's just it's an afternoon of burning the screens that I haven't had so far. So I just keep kind of pushing it off a little bit.
Have you done any Passalacqua shirts yet?
One of the first ones that we ever did was Passalacqua.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah, they came to us a long time ago. Just really nice guys. And then
I never saw that one.
But ever since, we were really new then, like really, really, really super new. We've done some stuff for them since, like they'll come and get like two dozen shirts to throw from the stage that say something, that say call your grandma, you know, on them or something. Brian's come to me a couple times for stuff like that, and they'll just get their fun little, you know, wing them at the crowd kind of stuff, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple.
They're a great hip hop act.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't know if anybody saw the, because I don't really pay attention to it as much, but if anybody was at the Eminem show a couple weeks ago, the shirts that he wore to do his encores when he came out, shirts that say Shady 15, I made those.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I made them. I didn't design them or whatever. I was contracted to print them. He's there's a girl that I know who has friends in the Shady camp, and she likes to give them T-shirts for like stage props and stuff. And one of the things that she had me make for him is like his favorite T-shirt. He wears it around the house and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to know that it was like super famous,
really cool.
Like super famous guy that I'll probably never meet him. But if you went to his house, you'd have like a 1 in 7 chance he'd be wearing a shirt that I made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. You know, that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, right. And they were like, we need shirts by tomorrow for Marshall to wear on stage. I don't even know if I'm supposed to be talking about this, but so I didn't make them for him. I made them for somebody who said that she could get them, you know, whatever.
Right.
She made them for him.
Right.
I just
I get it.
I just stayed up late and like knocked it out.
Yeah.
it was cool.
Yeah, world famous guy and a record holder now.
Oh yes, totally, yeah.
Yeah, he most words in one song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Rap God?
Yeah, for Rap God.
I can't believe that anybody could possibly beat the Fushnikins. Like, those guys were the fastest rappers.
The Fushnikins?
The Fushnikins. Are you familiar with
them? No, I am not.
Really?
No.
Oh, that stuff. They had a song on the CB4 soundtrack. Yeah, I'm serious.
Yeah.
It's like F-U.
I remember them.
Yeah. The Fushnikins were fast as hell. They were the fastest.
Yeah, I remember it was this song.
The only song I remember is straight out of Low Cash.
Is it creeping up on you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They're very fast. Cherry Rock.
What's up, Doc? Cherry Rock. Oh. What's up, Doc? Shit, I haven't heard this song in forever. I remember this shit. What's
up, Harga? That's horrible graphic.
What was the other one? Is it Creeping Up On You? Creeping Up On You. The Fushnikins. That one I know they rap really, really fucking fast in that one.
Silly. Oh. I have to move it back over.
Why?
Because that's how it is.
Oh.
Oh, what was the other one?
Oh, is it called Creeping Up On You? Is that the Fushnikins? I think so. Yeah, that's...
I don't think I ever heard this.
No.
Where are these guys from?
New York.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. I said my guess was going
to
be...
Got that New York vibe.
New York.
Got that new jack swing.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Onyx.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say that because of that guy's voice.
Yep.
What's it, even the beat?
Yeah, it's kind of rowdy.
Yeah.
It's a rowdy little jazz beat. This could easily be a Tribe Called Quest beat, too, though. Rob and I are both sporting our X-Men shirts today. Totally classic.
Sorry about that. Oh, do you start rapping fast yet?
Yep.
Have you ever heard Bus Driver?
I don't think so.
Really? Oh my god. My old boss was just like in love with this rapper called Bus Driver, and I'd never known anybody that had heard of him. He raps faster than you can think, like faster than you can listen to it. It's all really weird.
Really?
I can't believe that this dude hasn't won a billion, trillion, like awards or something. He's just this like underground guy, and he's got a billion records out. And it's the most interesting rap you've ever heard. It's like almost beyond like intellectual. So it's like really. Like, really awesome phrasing, you know, and, like, choice of words, and then it's so fast, you just, like, you can't believe it. I'm trying to remember what some of the records that, were called. I'm just here to hold your hand when you
die, and show you around the mansion. Yeah, I've heard this song before, yeah. And it will have a swab in the perfect circle, dying to sleep with a sky at your feet. I'll shoot you when you have your own destiny, you will find
peace. How did you do? I don't know, I'm okay. Every person I know is a secret story agent, cause I'm accused. I think this is one, like, First Black Astronaut. It was really great. That one's good.
What's the name of the song they're sampling, Chris? The flute song. They sped up really fast, but it's
is it Mozart?
Yeah.
No. Well, I think the lick per se would be Mozart originally, but this is from a jazz song. It's like, I can't think of how the rest of it goes.
Yeah, my boss would listen to this guy like, just like constantly for hours, and your brain would hurt trying to listen to it. Like, cause some of his stuff is kind of deep. I would almost say like, in the like constant weird reference sort of deep, like the self-titled Clutch album, where everything's got like some sort of weird attachment to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of like that. Like the more you think about his stuff, like the better it gets. But it goes by so fast that you can't think about it. It's crazy. Somebody
keep
can,
up.
Yeah, it's like HR from the Bad Brains. You know.
By the way, typing just bus driver into YouTube.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy shit.
Okay, oh, yeah, get the Hyrukin.
Hyrukin.
Oh, you're going to jail now.
Oh, yeah, you get things like...
That's got to be one of the first hits.
Passengers hitting bus driver smoking a bowl.
Oh, nice.
Bus driver smoking a bowl.
Yeah.
There we go. Unemployed black astronaut.
Oh, I thought we were going to see what this bus driver
is.
How do you get away with smoking a bowl on a bus?
Yeah.
I mean, driving it. I know how you get away with it. I'm well aware of how you get away with it as a passenger.
This dude's crazy. His raps are crazy.
What's happening?
What's that sample from? No, I think it just sounds like something else. In my press photos, I want to size my wrist low. Why don't you shake me?
I'm malleable, fleshy, putty, and a salable with dill dressing and a simple urban field test. He reminds me of Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Kinda, yeah.
His voice kinda sounds like it, but Del is much lazier in his delivery. Fresh though, it's home with a
black speed reader, perplexer. That depends but, what album.
Yeah, it's true. Which means I'm commonplace. To the point we travel the country in wooden spaceships. On the phone
cursing at debunking agents. I will work for the country. Do you know he's Ice Cube's cousin?
Who is?
Del.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
related?
Either.
Yes.
Where'd you read that shit? Reddit?
I don't read Reddit. Rob reads
that's
Reddit. Right.
That's Rob's thing.
What? What's that mean?
You read Reddit.
You read Reddit. I read 4chan.
Wait a minute, 4chan's a person, dude. It's a hacker.
I talk to 4chan all the time.
What the fuck
Whoa,
is 4chan?
Oh, you know 4chan, personally?
He's really just misunderstood.
What is 4chan? We've talked about it.
It's a hacker.
He's that dude that released all those nudie pictures.
Yeah, he's willing to release more. 4chan is this guy.
You're telling a joke. I have no... I'm not...
Nah, no,
it's... Wait, you're seriously asking a question. You don't know what 4chan is.
You've never seen 4chan.
No, it's just
an image posting website. That's all.
It's funny. They got some good stuff on there. Entertainment, my old middle.
I don't even know if you can call it entertainment. It's like you just want to see what the worst of humanity looks like.
Right, just scraping
that's
the
where
bottom.
You, yeah, that's you know? Where you will find it.
It's pornography. It's almost
like, there is pornography, but it's not just that.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of pornography.
It's on the internet. There's got to be pornography.
Oh, for sure. But anything
it's not
attached.
The pornography that gives the users away. It's the not the pictures. It's the opinions that they put on there.
Right. The comments.
Yeah.
It's another place for errant, rampant ignorance.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or hey, you can just stagnate.
By the way? We, like, already smoked a bowl we have not talked about.
Yeah, what was that?
What was the... What was that?
We did just smoke a certain weed. I believe it was called Charlie Sheen. And... Hello.
And he's got his own intro.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen.
I should turn my... I'm sorry. That's all right. bad podcast etiquette to leave your phone ringer on, especially when your ringer is so festive.
Right. But it actually kind of ties in with Charlie Sheen's attitude.
It sounded like you were introducing him on the Tonight Show.
Yeah,
no, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Sheen.
I set that thing off like when it was my turn to say who I was. I could when Jay gets here, I could set it back off again. he would get into the game for thing. Well, yeah, he could get whip a plaid sport coat on him real quick. Silver Lame.
Which, no, speaking of introductions, I mean, this didn't happen that recently, but you guys know that Dom Pardo died, right?
Oh,
no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Bad.
No kidding.
Oh, wow.
And that his name was not Don?
Dom.
Yeah.
That like Dominic?
Yeah, short for Dominic. I'd never seen it written, I don't think.
Dom Pardo.
Yeah, I thought his name was Don.
Duh.
That's what it, That's what kind of asshole I am.
He's gone. Wow.
Now, all right. Now he's gone.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I guess he last few years of Saturday Night Live, he's doing it from his house. And that was the only thing he did.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Of course, that's how all voiceover guys are doing shit now.
Oh, yeah. We just did a podcast the other day with a guy from Chicago for like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, technology.
Yeah, but they just send him this, you know, send him a text message with some script on it, and they read it into a microphone and send it off.
And he was only doing SNL,
too.
He did
not even have to get dressed.
Yeah, right.
What a fucking job, man.
Sitting there, no
pants.
Are you
fucking kidding me?
Live from New York.
I was going to say, this week it's Coldplay and fucking, I have even no idea who'd even say would be hosting anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it since Tina Fey left, so sorry.
I haven't watched it since Chevy Chase left.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy was in there. That was when it was good.
Yes. We have another guest.
We
have another guest joining us today.
What's going on, everybody?
Oh. I think we might need to turn the mic up a little bit.
Let's do a quick mic check.
Turn my mic up.
Really wonderful conversation. This guy walks in the room.
Is it loud enough in your headphones?
Yeah, it's cool. Okay. Thanks.
What? This is the setup music.
Yeah. Yep.
And we're back.
Technical
you know what this is called?
I don't
put that in there.
This is called an hour of Jeopardy think music.
Outstanding. Yeah. Somebody really? Just like an hour?
I feel like there should be a technical difficulties, like a guy with a wrench staring at something.
Yeah. Like a monkey and a monkey hitting a radio with a hammer.
That'll be the pause.
Wow, it really is an hour.
That's the loudest light ever.
That's pretty loud.
Ratchet.
It's enough of that.
Yeah.
So what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Y'all don't know me. I'm Jay.
I'm Rob. Mark. Chris.
Rob. Chris.
Aaron.
Yep. Aaron. Rob.
Chris.
Chris. Rob.
Yeah.
Scott.
Yeah.
Scott.
Yeah. Man, that looks like an expensive microphone to go through all that.
It's kind of nice.
That trouble.
Sterling.
Yeah. Same one I'm using here. Yeah, actually.
Well, you work at like a gear store or something?
No, I don't work for Guitar Center anymore.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, they fired my ass.
What are you doing?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, dude, it's the best thing ever.
Really?
I went on unemployment for 5 months, and then I got a nice job doing art restoration and custom framing in Grosse Pointe.
Right.
Oh, so I'm way better off. So. I had no idea. Yeah. I thought you were still like slinging strings and stuff.
No, I don't miss that place.
I'll bet.
I mean, I've been in there to buy some gear from time to time.
Is it truly run like a Gestapo? Because everybody I speak with that talks about management, it's run like a Gestapo.
Yeah, it's very much.
Well, you were a management.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, absolutely, and it's very much.
So they're just incentive based.
Yeah, it's very much keep doing good, you're going to get promoted to another shitty position that's going to pay you nothing, and then just constant, like, even if you hit your sales numbers, you got to sit down with them about something. Like, well, okay, so you hit your numbers, but we'd really like you to sell more of these pro coverage plans on the instruments, and really need you to get at least 2.5 items on your ticket.
I don't know. It's just like, it's like an alien concept to me, because it's I think the drum department is my least favorite place in the entire world.
Oh God!
Like I
that will be my.
I don't
hell.
Even like to think about gear. Like it's like talking about playing drums is so retarded to me. Like because it's just something. It's like something you do, and like you give Gene Krupa a shitty set of drums, he'll destroy you. You know, like.
That is one of the cancers of that place, is listening to people talk about what wood is this or that made out of, and I'm like, who gives a fuck, honestly?
Yeah. You
are you
Google?
Kidding me?
You got Google, right? I have Google, you have Google.
Right. But I mean...
That's the thing, too, is a lot of testing you, like, oh, what's on that that top of that Les Paul? Oh, that's a maple. Actually, that's an Anironic maple. I'm like, all right, dude, chill out. You know your shit.
Tell you what, I'll put my testicles up there. Now that's what's on top of that. My testicles.
Yeah. It's a, right, know. Exactly. It's a maple neck plus D's nuts. It's the D's nuts.
Oh, yeah, you didn't get the D series? What's the D
it's
series?
It's just like...
for a minute. I'll show you the D series.
I go there for the same reason like anybody who's sort of settled into their gear would go there, and that's for because you broke something. Yeah. You know, and that's because I broke something, because sticks, sticks break and heads break and ride cymbals break twice a year. So, yeah. What you know, what if you play them right?
Well, that's why you should get the pro coverage plan.
No, I don't think I should get
Sorry, 7 years of that place.
Dear God. I can't, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine, like, it always looked to me like pro audio was the worst.
Oh, it was like just it's just a mess. All
everybody's
all
starting
the time.
A home studio in their mom's spare bedroom.
Either that or like, selling the one they bought last year.
Right. Oh, my God.
My Guitar Center career lasted, I think, like a week, possibly two, and I just stopped going. Like, I didn't want to go anymore. It sucked. I did not enjoy. Like, no, that's how I found out I wasn't a salesman, or at least not. Yeah.
I can do the salesman thing all right, but...
No, here's the thing that, like, I knew I was working for in the Death Star with this experience. It was, like, it was Christmas time, and, like, some couple came in, and it was pretty obvious they were in a certain economic situation. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to get their kid a guitar for Christmas, because he wanted to... He was, like, 12 or 13, they want to give him a guitar.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me this story.
So I was trying to just sell him one of them Fender packs. It's what was it, like $200?
Right.
You get, like, the Strat, the 15-watt amp.
You get a way more badass setup than I had until I was, like, 22, I think.
Yeah. And
honestly.
And they were going to pick that up, and then the guy who was the manager of guitars at the time swoops on in, and he's trying to sell him, like, fucking, like, half stack and a fucking, like, Les Paul. And I'm like, what the fuck? What? No, he's just beginning. Why the fuck? No, you sell him a piece of shit because that's what you need for your first instrument. Yeah. It's like a car or a motorcycle.
Yeah, it's
your
not
first one has to be a piece of shit.
It's not a baby you're buying shoes for. That shit's going to be fine until he needs a bigger amp, needs one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Needs one because somebody conned his friend into playing bass, and then he got a slightly bigger one.
And then, like, just that experience just disenfranchised. I think I stopped going in, like,
well,
a couple
I don't
days
think,
after that.
You know, now that I've got, like, you know, 20 retarded years into musicianship, I don't necessarily want everybody out there playing.
For every one of those years.
You're right.
Vouch that it was absolutely retarded.
Yeah, it was right. I don't think I want everybody just going out and buying gear. Maybe we should make it harder to buy musical equipment.
Make it like buying a gun.
Right, like buying a gun. Like,
boy, this isn't a libertarian dog show.
This just like,
went whoa.
All right.
Oh, I love that.
Charlie
concept.
Sheen.
Yeah. So what?
Way back 10 minutes ago, we were talking. We smoked that Charlie Sheen. Well, we're gonna smoke more of that Charlie Sheen.
We did, and it was. It had to be the tastiest shit I've ever smoked.
Yeah, it's pretty tasty. It's clean tasting. It says here on Leafly that Charlie Sheen is an indica-dominant hybrid patented by Green Crack, OG Kush, and Blue Dream. This lemon-scented bud tastes likewise with a distinct undercurrent of Kush.
It tastes what now?
It says these lemon-scented buds taste likewise... with a distinct undercurrent of Kush.
Likewise.
I don't know. Tastes likewise.
Somebody was high when they wrote that shit.
Push the button here.
The effects are relaxing and uplifted with a lengthy, sleepy come down with a great pain relief and for insomnia.
Yeah. I can definitely see it helping you get to sleep.
Yeah, it's feel pretty good.
So anything you guys would like to share with the class?
All right, no, yeah. Okay, so in the spirit of modern practical joking, he just handed me his e-cigarette like it was a vaporizer pen and said, push the button and hit it really hard.
Like a cigarette.
Been smoking two and a half packs a day since I was 12. It just almost knocked me off this tire.
Oh, damn.
Vaporizer injuries.
Man, those do happen.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's all right.
It's all good.
Yeah, Leafy, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we use it for, you know, identifying the different strains.
There's a couple others. We got
Yeah.
Red Monkey.
Yeah, we had that one. You want to hit that one now? We
can do that.
No, let's just tackle the one that we smoked.
Right.
And then we'll talk about the other one.
All right.
This cool. guy... What is the name of this one, Rob?
That's the Enochian Eye Clear 30B.
Yeah,
right on.
It's okay.
I can't find my battery, though.
I really want to get a better tank.
I don't know what this one is.
The thing looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a... What is it?
You have to have, like,
it's
I think...
Kanger?
Nice. Kanger.
Yeah.
Pro tank.
This is an Aspire. I guess this is a better battery than...
Is that variable voltage?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
I have no idea what what's going on.
It's not a mech.
I drill out the air holes so that way you get more airflow through. It burns the wick slower.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's what I need on my
extender.
Yeah.
Check out how small those are.
It's just like 28 milligrams?
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick up an Aspire tank soon.
Go easy on that.
It's like a truck.
Really nice.
That's way higher than I have in mindset.
Let me try that, man.
You
want to
hit that?
Yeah.
We're cool.
You don't know the demons this man is trying to escape. his is going to be set for like Mongolian strength.
Yeah, nice. That's the you drill the air holes out, and it actually gives you a little more airflow. So like it actually.
This man's got the plan over here.
It atomizes the actual oil a little bit better.
Right.
So it's a smoother.
Yeah, and it tastes way better. It tastes like bullshit. My stuff tastes like home. I have you fix up my stuff.
I don't know. Personal opinions about Charlie Sheen?
Not bad. It's nice. Yeah.
It's
the actor or the weed?
The weed. That's a piece of shit.
We're going to wrap this one up.
You're going to shave your head like in Major League.
Right.
The lines in the back. I don't know what the fuck that was all about.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's all I have to say about it. It was just super tasty. I gotta stop futzing with this shit.
Let me see it. Is that a dry herb one or is it
a
tank? That's a big fucking tank.
Yeah.
Yesterday we only got like a bowl of it.
Insignificant.
Try hitting off that true. And you'll be like, notice a huge difference.
It won't fit my tank though.
No?
No.
This is the vape section.
Oh, you got to have, there's like another cowl piece that goes around there to support it.
I don't have that cowl piece. Yeah, see, it's...
It should go in.
You can screw it in there. It's just...
it's the 510.
It just looks weird.
Sweet.
You just get a little cowl,
That's for stabilization. Saturn that's in there.
Oh, that tastes pretty freaking good. That's great.
That's it's sweeter. Called Saturn.
Oh, Saturn.
Huh. Yeah. Or wait, maybe I did put sweet tart in there.
Yeah, it tastes like sweet tart because I got a mix.
Oh, yeah, that's a sweet tart then.
Yeah, I got watermelon sweet tart and a little bit of menthol.
What brand do you use?
It's a mix from a guy. I don't know what brand he uses.
Okay.
It's like actually a custom mixes.
Nice.
He's got 21 in Gratiot.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's like...
There's a... What was it? The one Aaron and I go to is called Wild Bill's.
Yeah.
They do the Mr. E liquid.
They're actually like a dollar more expensive than this place at 21 Gratiot.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's... Because it was like... I think my 5 milliliter was like $3.99.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's not bad.
And then this whole setup right here with 2 5-milliliters and an extra coil was $62 total for everything.
That's a pretty sweet setup for...
Yeah. And then for $20, you can actually get a tank that's for dry herb. So that way you
get
$20.
Nice.
I just couldn't quite swing $82, so I went with this.
Yeah. Wait for the next check.
Yeah.
Can you get one for oil?
Yes.
For concentrates?
For the earwax and the regular oil, you can totally. I got a buddy of mine that has that. The same store.
Nice. All right.
I think they're $20 as well.
Not bad.
So you don't have to do the stupid glass.
Mm-hmm.
Thing.
The dabbing.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Right.
You get that thing? Oh, it's like... Oh.
I fear for these kids that, get stoned out and have these things on, like, auto, and they just keep going, and they kick it over, and,
This shuts off after a little while, so you're good to go.
Yeah.
You can tell I've been Googling a lot lately.
Yeah.
Because I've only had this for 2 days, and I've already modified it, and I've already...
Oh, right on.
Nice. Upgraded the coil to it.
You're proud. I see it.
There's so many fucking options out there. You have to do your research on that shit.
Don't want to waste your money.
Kanger's got a nice battery, and it's got a little LED display on it for the, twisty thing. But it's just one more thing to break, and I guess these Aspires have a better battery, and they're just a little bit less expensive. It was $40 for the battery for 1,000 milliamp.
That's a good idea, because Rob and I both use these big-ass chunky ones.
Yeah, yeah, they sell those too. Yeah, they sell those.
Yeah, the variable voltage. I mean, they're great batteries.
That thing will last you a week.
But that's something you want to slip into your pocket usually.
I haven't charged this yet.
Okay.
This is straight out of the store. That's how new it is.
Yeah.
And I haven't charged it yet. I just came from 2 packs a day. So.
Right, so you're hitting it all the time, probably. Yeah.
This has got to work. That's the way I felt the first time I started smoking it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it got Rob off of cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's got me off of cigarettes.
I've quit clean. Yeah. No more.
It's great, man. I'm at Belle Isle freaking nature zoo, and all my kids are walking ahead to go feed the deer. I'm back there.
Yeah.
And that's the best part. You can do it anywhere. Right.
That is one of the things I love about it. I don't have an opportunity, really, to go outside and have a smoke break at my current job. And plus, if I'm doing, an installation, I'm at, somebody's ritzy-looking house. I'm not going to be out there smoking in front of it.
No. Right.
But I can just sneak off anywhere and just, quick puff on it, take it back in the pocket.
Yeah, it was nice. Yesterday, I worked at the Renzo.
Yeah.
And I was, in a secure area that I, couldn't leave. It would take me 20 minutes to get anywhere to have a cigarette. Oh, right. This thing saved my ass.
Yeah.
I was through half a tank through that thing, I started working at, 5:30 in the morning, and that was 8:30 last night.
Nice. Fiending.
All right. So.
Enough of that.
Hey, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing the Weedsman Podcast on Facebook and following us on Twitter at TheWeedsman420. TheWeedsmanPodcast@ChristopherMedia.net is the email. You can subscribe to the Weedsman Podcast on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users, you can find the Weedsman Podcast on Stitcher Radio. We got you covered. You can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Hey, please click through the Amazon banner and bookmarked page. When you buy something, Amazon is going to kick back some money to help keep Christopher Media going. And if you are looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows, like the Weedsman Podcast. We come out Tuesdays and Fridays. It seems to be working out. Unregimented comes out every Monday and Thursday. Eminem Question Everything comes out on Sundays. And the Toddzil X-Pod, whenever the hell he fucking feels like it. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings, it is one day fantasy sports. No being locked into one team for an entire season. You can draft a new team every day. Christopher Media listeners winning real money every day at DraftKings. Please click through the banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Sign up today at DraftKings.com. BurnBox. BurnBox is a monthly subscription of awesome smoking products and supplies. There are different boxes to fit your smoking style and a surprise every month. They keep it rolling for papers. They got Stay Glassy. If I gotta paint you a picture, glass. Dumbass. Their biggest box starts as low as $27 because you can go and enter the code Weedsman when you sign up. Shipping is always free inside the U.S. and a portion of all of the profits support the efforts of Normal. That's what sold me on it, people. All right. They're actually helping out the cause. Visit them online at burnbox.co. All right. It's there's no M. Burnbox.co. Or find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at burnbox.co. All one word, BurnBox Co.
Let's do a first topic.
Yep.
This is actually, these are my notes from yesterday. So yesterday was, not today, but as the recording of this, yesterday was the 25th anniversary of Bush's war on drugs speech. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember, what he held up? A bag of crack?
Yeah.
That was bought in front of the White House?
Yeah, he said it was bought on the street right in front of the White House.
Oh,
and
nice. I guess it was, but they had to give the drug dealer directions on where to find the White House. Right.
It's the first one.
But no, yeah, it was a setup. Nice. I mean, they found some, absolutely, you know, small-time drug dealer.
They bought it off the CIA right up front.
Right?
That's right.
The carpool.
Just so they could say.
He was the...
Oh, shit, you got footage?
They probably went to the evidence locker and grabbed it.
Yeah, right. Right. Oh, yeah, right. He was a former CIA director. I mean, he probably just called a buddy and said...
Yeah.
We got that Gaddafi bone to bring that in. Absolutely.
Smoke down him. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know Bush was hitting that crack, right?
Oh, for sure.
He's getting for his son.
Yeah.
I called up W, I need some of that rock.
I need to get something for me, Junior.
This is a little weird. He got in a powder form.
I mean, with Marion Barry, you know. I mean, he was the mayor. I mean, how far up did the crack go? You know, like really?
Yeah.
Where does that crack
go? I mean, that dude got caught with the hitting that pipe and got like reelected. Yeah. You know, that's amazing. It's like amazing. Yeah. I mean, they must have just really loved him.
Oh, Marion Barry.
That's some personality. Oh, yeah.
He was the mayor of Washington.
Get away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smoke crack, get your job back.
Yeah. Look, DC, I'm so sorry, but I just got to hit that pipe.
This is crack cocaine.
Oh, is this the remix?
Nice, the remix. Here we go.
Yeah.
It's like straight up huge rocks.
Look at the gigantic rocks.
They're like, hey, go down to a place where they make it and break a chunk off.
Right, yeah, right. Some DEA agent with a fucking K-bar knife. I just found this stash. Yeah.
My headphones just cut out.
Those are unbelievable fucking boulders. Oh, no. They like really are.
So I heard a pretty good joke. Speaking of politics, you know, if Hillary Clinton runs for president, and she loses, somebody has to make a T-shirt that says "Close but no cigar."
Nice.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Oh, man.
I have to credit my buddy Jay Best.
That
was the joke of the day.
That is really good.
That is a good one.
Yeah, I think we're going to get that done.
There's a T-shirt.
You know a T-shirt guy.
Who could do that?
Yeah, bumper stickers.
Right. That'd be good enough reason.
So, Bush's version of the war on drugs was really just a continuation of what Reagan was already doing, only it was much more heavily focused on incarceration of drug users, too. There wasn't even really much of a focus on the importing of drugs or trafficking. It was, let's keep the demand down by putting everybody in jail.
Also, forfeiture of assets. That's really, yeah. It's like actually, I can't mention the name of the federal authority that has it as one of their mottos is asset forfeiture is the front of all law enforcement. And that's actually on a mouse mat.
Really?
Yeah. Nice.
I cannot disclose where I saw that.
That's comforting.
Yeah.
Well,
it's all about asset forfeiture.
Yeah, they...
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They're making their money through police auctions.
A lot through that, and also through multiple other ways of selling stuff and distributing drugs back onto the street. I don't have proof of that.
Right,
it's pretty obvious. CIA back in the day, you know, that was Bush. That was Bush's era when crack really started coming around, and he was pretty much the director of the CIA at that time. So, mm-hmm. Who put crack in the streets? The guy that has a bag of crack right
now. Right. I'm going to sell this bag later on tonight.
He's like, I got totally customers. Dude, I started this shit.
I think that it was there was a straight line through Reagan doctrine and the way that when crack came about, they were already dealing with drug offenders harshly under Reagan,
and then when
Bush came in, it was like a continuation of that. They really went over the dealers at the mandatory minimums, and I think it was all a big setup for the action that happened under Clinton, where they just intensified what it meant to become a criminal. You know,
yeah, it was really just kind of adapting to the new drug of that decade, which was crack.
Right.
So we had the introduction of the 100-to-1 disparity between the difference between getting sentenced on trafficking crack cocaine versus powdered cocaine.
Right. Yeah. Was it 12-to-1?
It was 100-to-1 initially, and I think in the 90s it was reduced back down to somewhere in the thing. It was like 12 or 17-to-1.
Right.
Something like that.
Well, you gotta.
Which is really just, I mean, that's just racially profiling. That you just want to actually put more black people in jail.
Well, absolutely. Sure. The war that's, on drugs that was, is that was a your... code for war on black people.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Undoubtedly. I mean, because they took cocaine that all the white people were using and rocked it up and made it cheaper and cost more money.
Well, I think it's more also more just
and who do you sell it to? You know, you're wholesaling it now.
Right.
You know, it's.
It's sort of a war on despite the blacks. It was more of a war on anybody that the government had decided were undesirable.
Yeah,
so that you would get those wacky laws.
War on the poor. I mean,
a war on the poor. But
and it just so happens that you know impoverished areas and you know if there's a lot of drug trafficking, you can get a lot of people under, you know, being gang members or suspected gang members,
right.
or you know drug dealers, or you're a drug dealer, or, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, out of, it was $7.9 billion that they dedicated to the program. It was like a 20% increase over the previous year. And that was to... that was to fund the recently started ONDCP, which is still in action to this day. And that's where the term drug czar came about, too.
Right,
up that.
William Bennett.
That was the first one. And we're going to actually talk about the guy who's currently heading up, who's very different than anybody previous to that. But out of that $7.9 billion, it was 70% for law enforcement, 30% for prevention and treatment. And actually, when you break that down, it was actually less than $1 million that they were giving out of that $7.9 billion to develop any sort of treatment programs for anyone.
Right.
Which is just a piss in the bucket.
It's absurd.
It's nothing.
No. And look at the welfare state that created, actually.
Yeah.
We have now. You know, we're three generations deep into this shit now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sucks. Like, I actually see it from a law enforcement standpoint as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just from the officer's standpoint, you know, they're trained for that stuff. And unfortunately, for lack of a better term, brainwashed to be against it. I just, you know, I feel bad that they're putting their lives on the line for something like that. You know, like they should be like doing other things
right.
than like worried about drugs, you know.
Well, what's interesting that when I was researching this, it came up the fact that, I mean, and it should have been obvious because the federal government doesn't have really a lot of power when it comes to law enforcement.
Right.
That is the state's job.
Right.
But it was really the police officers that had to bear the brunt of this war. These are the guys on the front end of it. So in order to get this plan enacted, you have no direct say. You can't just go and say, this is your directive for your district.
Yeah,
but you can entice them. You can say, well, you don't get funding for this or that
exactly.
if you're not going to toe the line with our drug policy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So they strong-armed the states into following suit.
Yep. Well, other countries as well. I mean, they it's totally enforced across the world quite a bit. And if it's not, there's, you know, impending doom.
Right.
America, fuck yeah, you know.
That's usually a theme song for the
news. Oh, I'm picking shit up.
I really wish they would just decriminalize it and the taxes they make off of selling it, like, actually have treatment facilities. Like,
yeah.
Really, you know, it's the only way, you know, it's the only way. I mean, there's a lot of money to be made in treatment. Well, I'll stop talking like this if we're going to
play. Well, there are people who will point to these policies and say, yeah, but you have it was like a 20% or 25% decrease in the following decade of cocaine use in middle class or upper class white Americans. Which means it just fell out of fashion.
It went out of fashion. Yeah. Exactly.
It had nothing to do
with us. We're done with
this. Well, no, they figured out
the only way you disco, man.
But we're talking about the 90s there, and heroin came in.
Yes.
And I think what they did was like through, they just moved everybody from one thing to another. And a more dangerous one. You know, right. And one that propagates a very low class lifestyle.
Right.
So, like, cocaine is for the rich, and it's an elite thing. Mm-hmm. So you can keep it that way by taking it out of fashion. It's now nobody wants to be associated with things that are like 80s or disco or glamorous or Wall Street or yuppie-ish. It's all about flannel shirts now and ecstasy and heroin.
Well, when you break that statistic down by middle class, upper class, poor, you see, you know, a decrease in the middle and upper class, but you see a vast increase, not just of coke, but crack, heroin, and basically everything. All drugs increased during the 90s for the poor. So there was nothing to be made from the war on drugs except for money from people who would profit from it, mostly people who decided to open prisons.
Well, yeah, if there's a war.
That's the people who are making the most money on this
shit. Right, if there's a war.
If you call it a war, the federal government can fund every little thing, everything.
Right.
Yep.
There's so much stuff I want to talk about that I can't. Seriously.
But I'm reminded
we should have you on Unregimented.
There you go.
I'm reminded of the Bill Hicks quote when he's talking about, well, then that implies that there's a war, that there is a war being fought and the people on drugs are winning.
Right, sure.
That's all I had to say about that.
I don't understand how it's even like relevant topic anymore. I don't pay attention to shit. I wouldn't know if my neighbor's house is on fire. And like I can get pot when I want it from somebody who may or may not have grown it themselves, or is, you know, two hops away from somebody else like that. And it's like less on paper, on the radar or whatever, than buying a pack of cigarettes from the dollar store down the street. I mean, it's like, I don't understand how that's a poor thing or a bad thing. Or they now have $35 that they didn't have before. And and I'm now going to stop wanting to destroy the world by fire for at least a couple of days. And I don't see why that's... and it makes me more productive. And I hope that it makes them more productive. There's no government agencies or oversight involved in something so trivial and simple. I don't know. I'm almost 40 and I'm still a stupid anarchist. I guess it's I just don't see why it's like what needs to come into this. Like all the real drugs got to be refined and turned into real drugs or made in a lab by GlaxoSmithKline. And you know, I could grow really shitty weed underneath my basement steps if I wanted to, and it'd be shitty, but I could get pretty good stuff right off the hoof with, you know, two text messages and a crisp $20 bill.
Right.
Yeah, well, we mentioned last week, we talked about a story on Vice that was about I wish I could remember his name, but the doctor that was paid by Pfizer to tell everybody about how bad weed is.
Oh, yeah.
The company that makes OxyContin.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Told him.
Coincidence.
Yeah. Shocker.
Well, 25.
How bad is weed? I didn't hear that. Is it really bad?
Screw up your life, man.
I did hear that the new director of DEA wants to bring pot down from a Schedule 1.
That's true.
Nice.
Yes.
He wants to.
Actually, the deputy director does, because the actual director is a fucking retard.
Yeah, for sure.
It's your girl.
Leonhardt?
Nice. Yeah.
Michelle Leonhardt. Yeah, she's the director. Is the deputy director who said that it should be brought down a class, which is a step in the right direction, but still,
sure. They're trying to do that because of all the state legalizations, you know?
Yeah.
By federal mandate, the DEA, ATF are supposed to like raid all those places.
Mm-hmm. But we've seen
Obama actually told them to chill.
We've even seen support in Congress when the issue about the hemp seeds going to Kentucky that were that the DEA originally under Leonhardt's direction,
the government busted itself.
They had to be like, guess what? That's a government funded plan that you just interrupted there.
Right.
Hey, you got weed. So we know it's ours.
Yeah.
So 25 years later, there's an interesting poll that just came out. They've been doing for the last two years. They polled, well, it was over 450,000 adults over the last 2 years. And there's been a lot of polls, a lot of local polls about how people feel about marijuana, whether they support legalization. This is the most comprehensive poll that's ever been done on the subject. And it came up 58% for legalization, 35% oppose it, 7% don't give a shit.
Right. They have better things to think about.
Right.
Or they just don't want to know the truth that every time they've ever gotten a cup of coffee, the person was high. Right. They just don't want to know.
And if you just look at the data from like the last year, it actually bumps up to over 60% for people who are favoring legalization nationwide.
Wow. Just talking about this with my parents.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are they for it?
What do you...
No, just was talking about how the tide has shifted.
Yeah, but your dad's pretty conservative, right?
Yeah, but he is all for... He is all for tax it, make money
off
all
of for
it.
He's all for revenue streams.
I don't know, you know...
Like, that's what I don't...
The mind reels at how shitty government weed would be. The mind fucking reels. You know, something about it makes me think that I would still buy something somebody grow in their basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is a lot of the arguments against it. Anytime a doctor talks about it who's against marijuana use, they're like, well, you know, people can just grow it and put whatever. They can spray stuff on it.
This shit's state sanctioned. This is technically.
Right.
This isn't from the state, but this is state sanctioned right here.
But the process was no different.
Correct.
That came out of some guy's basement.
Right. Yeah, there's a warehouse.
A warehouse.
So, all right, how about this? If they decriminalize drugs and make drugs legal, what does that do to employers' rights? Like, can they still drug test?
That's interesting. So there is a story that...
It should probably treat it like booze. That's how alcohol treats... Or Colorado treats... treats it.
Marijuana, yeah.
There's a story about Princeton University, and there's a veteran who works for them. His name is Don Desarn. He's 48, and what does he do? I think he works on like the maintenance crew or something like that, or you know, the gardener or something like that. And he has he suffers from anxiety, and he has severe pain in his shoulder, and he's got a prescription for medical marijuana. Something came up where he had to be drug tested, and they said, well, you know, you tested positive for THC, and he's like, yeah, and this is why. This is my card. And they put him on suspension for a few days. They didn't cut his pay or anything. They still paid him through that period and just took some time to figure out what the fuck they were going to do about it because they had no plan for this. I don't know why they're blindsided by this. I mean, it's not like medical marijuana is that new of a concept.
Right.
But
I mean, is it technically like having a prescription?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not. Because it's not prescribed through pharmacists.
And it's still,
recommended.
Legal federally.
Yeah.
Right.
So they actually thought about it, came up with a plan. Desarn himself wasn't talking about what they eventually, the conclusion that they came to. But this was a not knee-jerk reaction. Now, hopefully we can evolve a little bit beyond that to where a guy doesn't even have to be suspended from work because of this, that they can just already have a plan for this in place. But employers are learning to deal with this issue. Not all of them are just saying, oh, you can't work for us if you're going
to
be...
I don't know what could possibly be surprising to anybody in 2014 that you might have some stoner employees.
Right.
I don't understand, like, what in the hell.
I do know of a policy that's run by the state that's for, like, multiple people to... It's a recognized card. It's called a must card.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to, like, do all these safety modules and take your drug test, and then you show your employer...
Contractors have to get it, right?
Yeah, contractors.
I see.
Yeah. And it actually states right on their website that it is not accepted. Medical marijuana cards are not accepted.
So really?
You pee dirty for THC, you have to go by the...
Mm-hmm. Then it becomes I think for employers, it becomes an issue of actually finding a workforce that they can pay low enough.
You find you know? or find a workforce of non-stoners.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Where the hell does that come from?
Well, especially in construction trades. I mean, come on, man. These guys beat their ass every day.
Yeah.
Just kick the crap out of themselves every day. You go home, man, you know, you take some ibuprofen, it doesn't cut it.
No,
so it's like, you know, you smoke some sativa or something, it's like, okay. My knees don't hurt so bad right now, you know?
Yeah.
You can relax.
Do you want everybody drinking all the time?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, really? Let's go back to
the 50s.
Right. Holy fuck, it, man.
I mean, you know, when I used to bounce, that was the number one person that we used to throw out of the bar, like right around 9:30.
The weed dealer?
Construction workers.
Oh.
Because they would just drink so heavily just to numb the pain.
I mean, I'd rather them smoking weed, which is, it actually has positive effects.
Yeah, it would help them out.
I mean, if you vaporize it right, you know, you deal with it right.
It's better than becoming
carcinogens out of it.
Better than becoming addicted to opiates. I used to live with somebody who was they did roofing and two, 3 years into it, they're chewing on Vicodin like sweet tarts.
Right. And what's that doing to their liver? And then they're drinking on top of that too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like just it ends up not being enough. You smoke some weed and you don't have. I don't have those problems. You
know? Right.
Mm-hmm. I feel great.
No, and it's, we were talking about last podcast, too, is a side effect they weren't seeing coming in Colorado. Good side effect is opiate deaths or overdoses from painkillers are down in Colorado.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, in states that provide medical marijuana, not provide it, that's the wrong word, in states that have legalized medical marijuana, you have less deaths of opiate overdoses.
I would believe, why not?
Yeah.
Because you don't, you know, you're not, like, pursuing anything else. Why would you pursue anything else? I get this shit legal, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got a bellyache. They write your prescription for it. I mean, that's...
Well, also, we had mentioned the ONDCP. That was right around the same time as Bush's speech... First Bush's speech 25 years ago, that's when they created the ONDCP, and that's where it got its funding from. 25 years later, we have a new head, or a new drug czar, right? Which I guess he's kind of not too keen on the term.
I love that term.
Yeah. His name's Michael Botticelli. He's 52 years old, and he's a recovering alcoholic who's been clean for 25 years. And he talks a lot about his addiction. This makes perfect sense. How are you not going to give the job to somebody who understands addiction? This actually is a hopeful sign that we're tackling the drugs from an addiction side and not from an incarceration angle.
Right. Yeah, it's a slow turn to the boat, though.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got his detractors.
I don't know. I don't like using like big all encompassing words like them or the man.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't buy it.
Yeah.
As a completely uneducated skeptic, like it makes a lot of sense for like our trust. You know, it's just another.
Well, how can you change your mind?
They all know. I can't imagine there would be a person in politics who doesn't know what a nice alcohol addiction is like.
Right.
You know.
But to speak speak openly of it is a difference. But I know it. How can you trust the government's opinion on a subject that they've been completely backwards on whole life?
Yeah, that's right. True. It's a turn of the boat. You know, it's just.
Man. We'll see.
Yeah, well, it's and I'm hopeful. And I'm using that, Jesus Christ, talk about the government. But, yeah, perhaps attitudes are maybe, perhaps going the other way.
Well, they're changing the NFL, right, Rob?
Yep, the actual NFL is looking into changing their rules and restrictions now because their top players are being caught, you know, doing drugs, obviously.
Yeah, so it's affecting their bottom line.
Yeah, exactly. It's affecting their bottom line.
Athletes are high on, so no.
Yeah.
Well, it's a similar situation that you were mentioning, just the working class, man. I mean, these guys beat the fuck out of their bodies.
Right.
Totally.
Instead of having, like, you know, they get major pain medication, too. You know, Vicodin. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Just to go play. I mean,
And we don't give them much of a support system outside of take these pills, and then once your body's so broken you can't play anymore, see you later.
Right.
I hope you saved enough.
Go sell some
gloves. Go suck an egg.
Exactly.
Yeah, sell some gloves for Isotoner.
Right.
And then especially, too, like, all the shit they're learning about their head injuries.
Yeah.
You know how guys are having their brains are 20 years older than they are?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because they're putting these sensors in their helmets, too, now.
Yeah.
So they can tell if the guys are getting, how often they're getting concussed.
It's crazy.
Going back to your incarceration conversation, I think really the worst side effect socially from incarcerating so many, like, poor people, I hate to call them low class, because I don't like to say lower middle class kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just degrading to me, but the problem is you're taking parents away from their kids,
right?
You know, instead of like treating these people, you're putting them in prison for multiple years. These kids are being raised by their grandparents, their aunts, uncles, in the foster care system, you know, taxing our dollars even more.
And the people around them aren't saying, oh, your daddy's caught in a system that's unfair. They're going, well, your daddy's in jail.
Well, that was the start. That was the start of it in the late 80s and early 90s, was they were incarcerating so many people in the 80s, and they were breaking the families apart. Choice. So you had you had people, you had a generation raised by single moms.
Yep.
Because the dads were off somewhere.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, that's like the biggest part. And then, like, all of a sudden, these kids realize, like, they grow up to think, like, it's okay to be in a single-parent family. And they're on the same train, and they reproduce, and it's it sucks. And it's, like, we should be helping these people out instead of, like, you know, keeping them on our welfare system. Give them a way out, you know, like, up and out. I mean, some people aren't motivated, but, I mean...
That's fine. Those people will always blame the system, no matter.
Yeah, sure.
No matter what, but
system's got to change. Right?
Yeah,
just incarceration is just so destructive. Like socially, it's just, you know, that and economically, you know, it costs us way too much money all the way around. Because like those kids are on welfare, their mom, you know, their whoever's taking care of them's on welfare, getting.
Yeah, I think we still have the record worldwide for percentage of population incarcerated.
I'm sure.
It was like, it was over 20%, wasn't it?
The greatest percent of it's like 25% of our population's in prison.
Oh, wow.
That means 25%, like most of those people have children, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Most of them.
I don't have a
number, but I mean, you know,
right.
Most of them have children.
A good percentage, let's just
look at the lower economic state. What do? You know, they drink, fight, and fuck. You know, that's what else can you do? There's nothing else to do. I can't afford a PlayStation, so, or whatever.
A double bed and a stalwart lover for sure. These are the riches of the poor.
You got it.
I just quoted Morrissey on your ass.
Oh, fucking damn.
Just threw down. Eat that, bitch.
Nice.
And you took the last of the coffee, Dick.
Damn. Oh. You know what? Should we take a break and take a pee break and make some more coffee?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to the Weezman Podcast. Make sure you subscribe for free by clicking through that iTunes banner and subscribing. Check us out every Tuesday and Friday. Thank you guys for listening. Please tell somebody. You have to. That's how this works. Numbers are growing every day. We appreciate everything that you do. And stay high.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.